Good morning. I went online and I listened to some of the sermons that Brian preached, and I was fascinated because each of us has certain peculiar idiosyncrasies. And I noticed on every sermon that Brian preached, he said, "Good morning." So I thought, well, that's a good way to start, and it should be a good morning. I'm glad to be here, and if you have a Bible and you would like to open that in preparation for where I'm going to be speaking, we'll be looking basically in Matthew chapter 5 this morning. I had the privilege of growing up in a Bible-believing church, and I came to a simple understanding of Jesus Christ in my youth, and I was immersed into Jesus Christ back in 1965, and I did a little math, and I'm thinking, I think I was about 11 years old at that point. And I look back in time, and I'm thinking, it just seems like yesterday, or at least that's what some of us hope it is, as we tend to age. I looked with my parents, and every time that church door was open, we were probably there for a Bible study, a prayer time, a youth event, something that was going on. And I heard a lot of good old preachers that truly believed that the Bible was the Word of God, and I appreciated that. And I read many things, and yet in each person's life, yours and mine, as we come to grow in our life, we start to sometimes question some of the things that we have learned. We hear things outside of what is our comfort zone, where we have grown up and where we feel safe, and some of those things did not line up with what I had been raised with. And the question came to me, who do you listen to and what have you heard? We hear a lot each day in the world that we live in. Some take your information from the TV and the newspapers. I've been having trouble lately getting my newspaper actually delivered to my house. And sometimes I'm going, well, it's okay. There's not a lot good that I find in it, but I do like to read it. Some take their information from Facebook and Twitter nowadays, and there's a lot of things out there, some of it good, some of it not so good. For the older generation, you might have heard some things as we use the term through the grapevine or through the party line if your parents didn't catch you. Now, some of you, party line wouldn't mean a thing, except that in the older days, there were telephone lines that multiple families shared. And so if you were a kid and you picked up the line, you were supposed to take and hang up immediately if you heard somebody on it. But there were the kids that would sort of go, oh, wait, that's sort of interesting. Wow, I didn't know that about that family. And oh, boy, if you ever got caught, though, you were in trouble because you were listening in on a conversation that was not intended for you. Sometimes there are things you should hear and there are things that you should not hear. And so we have to understand that we need to listen to the right things. Some people hear very well. Some don't. Some have hearing aids to enhance their hearing. Nowadays, there are earbuds that limit people's hearing or confine it to a limited direction of what's coming through their phone or other device. I think as we look in the world, we have to be careful that we are listening. Gentlemen, if you ever read your paper in the morning and your wife is there and she asks you this question, "Honey, did you hear what I just said?" You better answer carefully, because maybe you weren't really listening. And I think that's sometimes how it is for us. We need to listen and understand. There are things that we need to hear in the right way and bring them to the front of our lives. I think about years ago, over 20 years ago, I went to Eastern Oregon with some of the elders of the church I was at that time, and we were in a hunting party. And one of the elders brought their grandchildren along, young little boy, and as he got up in the morning time, I was certain to hear him every day say, "It's gonna be a great day." And I'm thinking, wow. And I thought, And the next day he says, "It's gonna be a great day." And I'm thinking his parents had instilled within him, because they had taught him that it would be a great day. to look at it through the right perspective, to listen and hear the right things, and to say, it's going to be a great day. And for some of us, we took that saying and we used it through the years. That young gentleman would be probably in his mid-20s by now, and I'm wondering if he still starts his day saying, it's going to be a great day. What have you heard, and who are you listening to? We oftentimes need to understand that there are questions and answers in life. I still find that God's Word, the Bible, is trustworthy, that Jesus is worth listening to, and for my life, what His Word does for me, it affects my outlook on the world and those around me, and it gives me hope for each day. Jesus' ministry, as we're looking in the book of Matthew, was growing, and He demonstrated His power and His grace to the people close to where He was born, and He went to people who needed hope and encouragement in their lives, and He blessed them, and He healed them. Well, who were some of these people that Jesus was talking with? Back in chapter 4, picking up in verse 23, it reads this way. These are some of the people that Jesus had been dealing with. It says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the word of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about Him spread all over Syria, and the people brought to Him all with various illnesses or diseases, those suffering pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and He healed them. And large crowds from Galilee and Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region around Jordan followed Him. Not only did He say things that were important to them, but He took and He shared with them things that were needful in their lives. He healed them, He witnessed to them, and they saw this Jesus as someone that they wanted to think and listen to. He sounded different than the religious leaders of His day. Have you ever listened to somebody and you're going, oh man, I just can't wait till they get done? I hope that's not what happens today. But we take and we listen and we're going, some things catch us and we need to hear it. Jesus takes and encourages people to listen to Him. As we look into chapter 5 of this, I want you to see some of the things that Jesus said that people needed to hear. And we come through this in such a way that it comes to the point, if you got too much information, what's going to happen? How is it going to come to you? And what are you going to do with it? Sometimes people were overwhelmed with what Jesus said. There was a saying that came across years ago when I was in college, and it was on a poster. It said this. It says, when life gives you lemons, what? Make lemonade. In other words, what you are given, you're able to deal with in some way. And Jesus was giving people the things that they needed to understand, even though life was going to be difficult and things were going to be overwhelming to them. How would they deal with Him? He comes in Matthew chapter 5. If you have a Bible or look here as I read, it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, He went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to Him and He began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of Me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Another word sometimes used for blessed is happy. How many of you remember the little song that goes, if you're happy and you know it? How many of you remember that? A few of you. I want you to sing with me. because I want to look at your faces. You know, sometimes when we say something, our face doesn't match what we're saying. Have you ever noticed that? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, and you really want to show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, and you really want to show it. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. If you're happy and you know it, shout amen. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, shout amen. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, then you really want to show. If you're happy and you know it, shout amen. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, do all three. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, do all three. Amen. If you're happy and you know it, and you really want to show. If you're happy and you know it, do all three. Amen. And there was a lot of other ones that we did, because it's like, yes, I like it, because if you're happy, it will show. Do you realize what Jesus just said to these people was, happy can look different than what most people would think it would look like? When we look at this, it comes to this point of be attitudes. In other words, how are you going to be? What is your attitude going to be through some of these things? Do you think it would sound and look different if in our times people would think we really had the attitude that Jesus spoke about? What if people really think they saw who Christians, who were what? People who are poor in spirit, who mourned, who are meek, who are hungry and thirsty for what is right, who are merciful and who are pure in heart, and who are peacemakers. Do you think they'd take notice? I think so. I think we'd see that. I want you to think about it. That's what this says. Think about it. Jesus came to fulfill the word of God. He was and is the Messiah. He is the Savior of mankind. And he knew it. But sometimes the world and we have trouble recognizing that. When you take just a glance, and I'm not going to put it up here, in verses 17 through 20 of this text, Jesus says, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus understood that his purpose was to fulfill what God's plan was. And he would live in such a way that people would take notice of what he did. Even what happened to him, he said, would happen to the prophets. It did. It would happen to him. And even some of us would be persecuted for what you believe or I believe. How many of you can say, I am really happy when somebody persecutes me? That's not something we usually think about, is it? But Jesus said, we are blessed when those things happen. Jesus said a lot of good things. The question is, were people hearing, and are we hearing in that? Who are you listening to, and what have you heard? In chapter that we're looking at here in 5, there are 6 times that Jesus used some form of this phrase to remind them of what they already heard. The phrase is, you have heard it before, but I tell you. How many have used that word but? In the proper context, of course. That means there is something else coming, isn't there? You have heard certain things, but I tell you. Have you ever remember when your parents were telling you something, and all of a sudden, you better listen to me, and all of a sudden you're going, oh, but what? Mom or Dad is telling me, and I'd better listen. And so you look at this, and some of the things he reminds him of, you have heard it before. Some of the lists here I give you are murder. Jesus talks about some of the straight things out of the Old Testament. He talks about murder, but he's talking, it's more than just memorizing it. There are some consequences and how you view things in life. What about lust? He goes on in this very thing, and he talks about what we're looking at and what our mind is thinking about. And it's something that we need to listen to. Jesus says there are some teachings about divorce in the Old Testament. But here's what I tell you. He says, when you take an oath, don't use lots of words. But I love this passage. It says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You remember when people used to make an agreement, a handshake, and a deal, and you knew their word was true? And then Jesus even talks about retaliation in some of these things. Through this passages, he keeps using this phrase over and over again. You have heard it before, like we should know it. They should have known a lot of these things. But I tell you, are we listening to him? All of these things are found in the Old Testament. Jesus wanted to have us have a change of heart. He wanted us to have an attitude adjustment. And sometimes it's hard for us to do, and yet it's impossible without the Spirit of God within us, isn't it? Somebody says, change your attitude. How many of you can just do that? Just suddenly you're going, that's no problem. I've thought this way for years. I'm just going to change my attitude. Without Jesus in our life, that's awfully hard to do. The sixth one that is in here, you have heard it said, but I tell you, is probably the toughest one. It stands out in verses 43 and 44. It talks about loving your enemies. It reads this way. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. You know, when Jesus Christ comes to us, we get something good out of it. Sometimes we can't even envision the good that's going to come because of Jesus. He says, love them and what? Pray for them. That's different, isn't it? It's hard sometimes to do things when things come at us. It's hard to take and sometimes swallow things. I had this in college that was told me. It says, if you have a lot of frogs to swallow, swallow the big one first. I want you to take your pick. Which one do you want to swallow first? We react more as this next picture. We don't like swallowing frogs, do we? Well, the frogs don't like it so much. But we take and never, ever give up. Sometimes we have to look and realize that God wants us to do some things that maybe we don't think we can do. Jesus says, you've heard it, but I tell you. And he gives us some of these things. He says, this is what you should do. These are ways in which you should live and act and walk and be. One of the passages that I sort of skirted around, but I come back to at this point, is found in verses 13 through 16. It's so practical. Sometimes we like to just sit and be comfortable, don't we? I like the chairs that are here. I don't know if you had the old pews or benches before. And some of those, if you remember right, were just those wood hard bench ones before somebody decided maybe they needed padding. The old hard ones were to keep you awake, you know. That was in the day before air conditioning and heating and all of those other things. But we like comfort. But Jesus tells us in the world we need to do some things. One of the things in this passage we'll see here as we read it are a couple of things he wants us to act upon. It says in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be what? Thrown out and trampled underfoot. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. A couple simple questions. Are you salt for God's kingdom? Salt did a number of things. It was a preservative. It helps us bring out flavors in food. You think what Jesus was saying about, we should be the flavor or the influence that helps encourage people to see Jesus. How about the other question? Are you letting your light shine? I'm not going to sing it, but I remember, you remember the song? What? This little what? Light of mine? I'm going, you know what we did as kids? We loved it, you know? And I was like, but what we liked the best was this, the one, hide it what? Under the bushel. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I can hide it. And then the other one was, don't let Satan what? Yeah, we all went, and it's like those birthday candles. Don't let it get blown out. Don't let it happen in such a way that Jesus says, you are what? Salt in this world. You are light. In my household, I think that at my funeral, my family has already got something planned. They know, yeah, we talk about death. It's part of what is encompassed for us and will eventually happen. But I like light. And so I have flashlights. And my poor family, they think that any time that they don't know what to buy me, you know what they buy me? A flashlight. Something that's unique or different, one of those fancy little LED ones that pops up so you can pull it out anytime, you know, the high beam ones that you can almost blind somebody with. It's amazing. I don't have my coat with me, but in the pocket of my coat is what? A flashlight. Why? Because I want to be in a spot that no matter where I'm at, that I have light. You know what Jesus called us to be? To be light in the world. He called us that we might take and encourage those around us to be light also. You know, there was a story of a young man who had accepted Christ in his life. And a little while after this, one of the Christian teachers came up to him and asked him, what have you done for Christ since you accepted him? He says, oh, I'm a learner. And the questioner says, well, when you light a candle, do you light the candle to make the candle more comfortable or to have it give light? And of course, he answers to give light. And then he says, but do you expect it to give life light after it is half burned or when it is first lit? And of course, he replied, well, as soon as it is lit. You know where this is going, don't you? The teacher says, very well, go out and shine your light. Sometimes we think we need to wait, or it's not the perfect time. It's not the right time to shine our light. But Jesus has called us to be salt. He's called us to be light in this world. If we are Christians in this world, what are we spending most of our time listening to, and who have you heard from? Jesus Christ calls for us to live for him openly. It makes a difference as to who we listen to. When I heard that comment about resolutions, I don't make resolutions because I know I'm going to break them. I have goals or something that I want to do. This year, as I started the year, I've been regularly, every day, reading sections of the Bible. And as I read them, I've read them before, but you know what? Each time that I read them, I hear something that I might not have heard the time before when I read it. Who am I listening to? God's Word. Who is it that hopefully will penetrate my life and I will count as important enough that I want to hear what is being said. When we go out into the world, it does make a difference. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have hope. They have eternity to look forward to. God has given us a gift of grace. How do we respond? You know, I know that a lot of you have probably already accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But Jesus gave to his disciples what we call the Great Commission. Some of you probably recite it by heart. In translation I'm reading, when Jesus gave it, it said this: "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Isn't that a good news? Isn't that something that other people should hear? I think about what we need to do in our lives and how we come to Jesus Christ. Years ago, I made a simple card. I'm good for stealing somebody else's good thoughts. I don't know who originally put it in this form, but it was a simple way that I could understand and help others understand what they needed to do with what they have heard. How do you enter in that relationship with Jesus Christ? The Bible asks me to believe. Scripture in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." It means I commit my very mind. It leads to a change of heart. The Bible asks me to repent. Scripture in Acts 2:38 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It means I'm changing some direction in my life. It leads to change in my life. The Bible asks me to confess my faith. It says, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven." Matthew 10:32. That means I commit my influence in that process. It leads to a change of alliance. I am willing to say that I am a believer in Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. And the Bible asks me to be baptized. In Romans, we are reminded, it says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into the death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may," what? "Live a new life." It means I commit my body physically even unto him. It leads to a change of relationships. Question is this: do you know Jesus? Who are you listening to? And what have you heard? Jesus Christ has the best message that the world needs to hear. You and I, as believers, have something to share with the world. Let's be happy about it and go out today. And as that little boy once said, it's going to be a great day. And maybe I add, it will be a great day in Jesus Christ. Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? I'm going to turn this back over to the elders this morning for the invitation time and for the song that's going to be sung. May we listen to Jesus Christ, and may we hear his word in our lives.